This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Billy Stats here with Fox Sports Knoxville, and I'm here to tell you DraftKings Sportsbook is not only my favorite sportsbook, but it's America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN when you sign up to turn $1 into $150 in free credits. Bet on the basketball team of your choice to win the next game, and if they do, you will claim $150 in free credits. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Tennessee only, restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
Time for the Drive's Top 5 at 5.
All right, here we go. Quitting time on your Tuesday, 5 o'clock here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith, Bear with you. Thanks to Matt Huckaba hanging out in studio, helping out the show this afternoon. Jake Miller's got your top five at five. It's brought to you this afternoon by Knoxville Smiles.
Number one, three-star center Haje Tamba of Knoxville Catholic has reclassed to the 2021 class and will enroll at Tennessee to play for the Vols.
Exciting stuff. We're going to get young Tamba on here in just about 5 minutes to talk about this exciting decision.
Number two, Oklahoma and Texas have requested to be a part of the SEC beginning July the 1st of 2025. After a whirlwind of news and speculation, their intent is clear, and 11 of the 14 member schools of the SEC need to approve before it can be made official.
I think they'll be in next year.
Yeah, I mean, I do too. Yeah. I think they're, like we talked about yesterday, just sitting back, their arms folded, waiting for the next dominoes to fall, which are other Big 12 teams leaving. And, you know, once West Virginia, Kansas, Oklahoma State find new places to go, there's not going to be any reason for the Big 12 to exist or to fight it, and I think they'll be able to jump in next year.
And number three, Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers showed up to training camp today less than 24 hours after ESPN's Adam Schefter on Monday detailed an agreement that would include several concessions to Rodgers, including a void of the final year of Rodgers' contract.
Now, somebody
folded pretty quick, didn't he?
Well, but he's going to get out. I mean, he realized that it's either play for the Packers or don't play. And I think he wants to play football. He's a football player. And so I think both sides are giving in a little bit. One thing I found interesting was evidently he's convinced them to bring Randall Cobb back, it sounds like.
Yeah, so are them. The Packers made a trade for him today.
And that was part of Rodgers' demands is give me Randall Cobb?
Yeah, it sounds like it. He was always his go-to guy.
Getting the band back together.
And he's now Koa Tornado.
How old is Tex Cobb these days?
Oh, he's got to be in his mid to late 30s.
Yeah. Best year's probably behind him, but maybe he can turn back the clock. I mean, if you get anything, you put him with Devontae Adams out there, and Aaron Rodgers will run around dropping dimes. I have a weird feeling. This would be my hot take. It's based on gut feeling. Packers are going to be really good this year. Like NFC Championship, maybe Super Bowl good. And then what does that do to Aaron Rodgers? Because if they make a Super Bowl, he's not going to turn around and leave after all that, is he?
No. Randall Cobb, 30 years old. I was making him a lot older than I thought he was.
Not that old.
Yeah, he's a couple years older than Jake.
Number four, Austin Peay defensive lineman Nigel Branum was charged Friday with the aggravated assault and aggravated kidnapping of another football player.
What?
Branum, wow. A transfer from Memphis, allegedly cut the throat and wrist of a player Thursday after the two had a fight over a room key.
Good Lord.
That escalated quickly. And wow. Kidnapping? Like, I guess he wouldn't let him leave or something? Or you realize,
don't leave, otherwise I'm going to kill you.
I'm not
going
to sit here and lie and say I haven't thought about, you know, causing some physical damage to some of my Fan Run brothers, but I've never wanted to cut anybody's throat.
Is the guy okay?
I guess he's okay. Didn't say he died.
My grief.
All right.
Austin Peay, have a little decaf. What are you doing, man?
Beat the pee out of you.
Evidently.
And
number five.
An early morning crash on a New York City expressway caused traffic to be restricted to one lane because the roadway was covered in peppers. Authorities said the tractor trailer was traveling eastbound on the Brooklyn side of the Brooklyn-Queens Expressway on Monday when it overturned, spilling a mass of peppers onto the roadway at exit 30 to Flushing Avenue.
What kind of peppers?
Specified what kind of peppers?
I don't know, but I would not be picking those up.
You're talking about bell peppers?
Yeah, and if they're just like red pepper, that's not much. But
so in the picture, it's a bunch of different shades of red.
Yeah. Hmm. Red peppers, very good for you.
Hopefully they wash their hands before going to the bathroom.
I don't my wife always has like chopped up red and green peppers in there. It's one of those foods I know it's good for me and I have to force myself to eat it.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't like the greens, but I regularly cook stuff with red, orange, and yellows.
I like it much better when it's cooked. We just slice it up raw to eat it.
Oh. Ugh.
Yeah, no.
I don't Yeah. Work with the old lady on that, Russ.
Excuse me? You mean my young and beautiful wife? The light of my life, mother of my children, that is who you're talking about?
She could have done no worse and you couldn't have done any better. I've stated it numerous times. Beautiful young lady.
Folks, the Top 5 at 5 is brought to you by our friends at Knoxville Smiles, the best dentist office in town. Everybody needs good dental care. A clean grill is a good thing to have, after all. And that's what Knoxville Smiles specializes in. Dr. Steve Malone has been in business here in East Tennessee for a quarter of a century now, almost 25 years. And they've built a great practice in there. They've taken in a new partner, Dr. Michael Costa. And, man, there's so many advancements that have been made in modern dentistry. A lot of people, you know, we grew up being, you're afraid to go to the dentist. You go to the dentist, that means something's wrong with you. Somebody's breaking out a drill. There might be a shot involved. Kind of scary, right? And it's just not really that way anymore. Even if you do have to have something, you know, surgical done, you know, wisdom tooth taken out or something, they make it to where it's you don't feel a thing. Dr. Steve Malone, Dr. Michael Costa, Knoxville Smiles, best dentist office in town. They do my dental work. Let them do yours as well. Contact Knoxville Smiles today at 865-539-1776 to set up an appointment or just go online to KnoxvilleSmiles.com. All right. Guests keep coming here this afternoon on the show. Keep things rolling. Their next guest, he just committed to the University of Tennessee to play basketball for Rick Barnes and the Volunteers. Hanji Tamba would have been a rising senior at Catholic, but he is reclassified. He's going to go play for the Vols this year. And Tamba, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Good afternoon. I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Congratulations on the decision. This must be very exciting for you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, it is very exciting. I'm glad to be a Tennessee Vol this upcoming fall, and I have just to thank God and people around me that made it happen.
Now, when did you make the decision that this is something you're going to do?
In the last couple months, I was thinking about it. Tennessee gave me the opportunity to either come for 2022 or 2021. And I felt like just going early will make sense so I can have time to work on my game and on my body a year earlier than waiting for the next summer.
Was it hard to pass up playing your senior year at Catholic?
Yeah, it was very hard. I love Catholic. I love the people. And most of the friends I have, I knew them for 4 or 5 years now. Those are the only people I kind of know. So, yeah, I had we were talking about senior year and everything, but always going to be fun to represent and wearing a Catholic color, but now it was kind of hard to make the decision to leave them early, but they understand it.
Talking with Hanji Tamba this afternoon on The Drive. And Tamba, tell folks, where are you from?
I'm from DR Congo, in the city of Kinshasa. I don't know if you're familiar with Ali and Foreman. where they fought in Zaire. I think I live like 30 minutes away from the stadium where they fought.
The Rumble in the Jungle.
Yeah, that's my home.
That's awesome. Do you have any family members who were around at that time? I think that fight was in, what, 1975 or something like that?
I don't think so. I think that's the time, like, my parents were kind of born. So
yeah.
I don't think I had anybody who attended the matchup.
Have you ever seen that movie? It's called When We Were Kings. It's a documentary about Ali Foreman, The Rumble in the Jungle. It's very cool.
Yeah. I think I saw that. I saw a couple documentary even on Foreman, and they talk about the fights that happened and how Foreman was in the city at the time and how they took him down.
The kids, Ali had the kids saying, Ali Boumaye.
Yeah.
what does that mean?
It means kill him. It's like,
kill him. Oh,
yeah.
Poor George Foreman. So what was it like, man? When did you come to America and what was that transition like for you?
I came summer 2017. It was hard, just because I was far from my family, people I knew for my whole life. And I was a French speaker, French-born speaker, and it was kind of hard to learn the language and to learn the basketball game, because basketball is not a very popular sport back home. So I had to adjust to everything, even the weather especially.
Sure. So you spoke French growing up?
Yes, sir.
And Tennessee has done a good job. I'm sure you probably, if you're being recruited, you met Yves Pons, and then they've got Quentin Debunche is French as well, isn't he?
Yeah, I believe so.
So will you be, are you fluent in French? Like, I mean, I'd imagine for him that would be really cool to have somebody on the team that speaks his native tongue.
Yeah, that would be great. I'm pretty fluent at it. I speak it most of the time with my family, so I still got a language with me.
That's awesome. Tomba, what's it like being 7 feet tall? How often do you hit your head on things?
At least once a day.
Once a day? So that's just part of being 7 feet tall, is it's dangerous.
Yeah, you kind of have awareness after a while. I kind of duck. It's kind of natural, a natural feeling to duck underneath the door. Even some door are pretty tall, I still duck, and it's kind of hard, but I'm used to it.
Do you know Steve Hamer here in town? Steve Hamer played basketball at Tennessee in the early 90s. He's 7 feet tall. I'll never forget the sight of him. We were at a radio station, and somebody had to go get him, and they went and got him in their Honda Civic, right? Really small car. And Steve is in the passenger seat, and he gets out of this car, and I can't believe a human being fit in there. Tomba, you got to get yourself a big car, man.
Yeah. You got to have the perfect call, perfect fit for me.
We'll get you in the NBA someday, and you'll have your choice, certainly. Now, Tomba, you had a chance to play for the B-Mays Elite AAU program here in town. That is, you know, so many great players are going through there now, who I'm sure you are friends with. How much has that experience helped you develop your game?
Beam is it's a family atmosphere. First, they care about us as a person, and they want to help us kids to get a chance to get a scholarship and play the game we love. So Beam is really teach us kids to love the game and work on it. Like, constantly we have coaches available to help us and work on our game anytime we want to. and they provide a good platform, travel, basketball, where we can go and get seen. So BMA is a big part of my development, and it's maybe one of the reasons I'm here where I am today. And BMA has really, really helped us in terms of getting the looks we're getting.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. They help a lot of young men and women now as well getting scholarships. What has Coach Barnes told you that you need to work on before you get to campus as you get set to begin your college career?
He's looking for me to work on my jump shots, like high release. They always talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
They really want me to be able to do it, like Grant and Alexander and all the players kind of help with their jump shots, even the Marcus Aldridge. So he's really looking for me to just bring a willingness to learn and the game and to listen to him, and he knows where he's going to take me.
So what is the next step for you? Will you be moving into the dorm soon and getting started with college? I imagine that happens next month, right?
Yeah. Probably in 2 or 3 weeks that will happen, and I will get the opportunity to be down campus and start working on my game.
All right, man. Well, are you excited about it?
Oh, yeah. It's a blessing. Thanks to God and everybody. So I'm just very thankful. Thankful for Knoxville community. Thankful for the Men's Elite. Thankful for Knox Catholic, the Patterson. Thankful for everything. So it's just a pleasure to play this game. So I'm enjoying it.
Well, Tomba, we look forward to enjoying watching you play at UT. Congratulations on the decision, becoming a Vol. We're looking forward to seeing you, buddy, and thanks for taking some time to join us on the show today.
Okay, thank you so much. God bless.
Thank you. That's Haji Tomba, 7-footer from Catholic by way of Kinshasa, Zaire in the Congo.
What an incredible young man, Russ.
I know, man, it would be so fun to just, if you had like an hour just to sit down and really get into his story. I'll bet that's pretty fascinating. Growing up, speaking French in the Congo.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. From what I understand, when he first got to Catholic, he took French, even though he's a fluent French speaker, because it helped him
acclimate.
I think this is what I was told. No, it helps you learn English. It helped him learn English.
Mm.
Knowing
what a verb and a noun is. Because that stuff, like when you know, nobody tells you that when you're a child learning how to speak. You just sort of, however you learn how to speak, however we all learn how to speak. So, like, that helps you. There's some translation there, literally.
Yeah. And just incredible story how far he's come. There have been a couple of kids over there. Akeem Adesupe was another one who, you know, came all the way from Africa to Knoxville and will be playing at Kent State this fall. But just a great story. And we didn't get into it, but I believe Tomba will be in a pre-med. He'll be a pre-med major.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That's the thing. If he had stayed at Catholic, it's my understanding that he was going to be not only competing for a championship in basketball this year, but was also in a pretty heated competition to be valedictorian, which is no small feat at Catholic.
That's incredible. What a story. Yeah. All right, we got to take a quick time out. We're going to keep the hoops talk rolling. Aaron Torres had a chance to visit with Rick Barnes last week. It's a great podcast. We'll tell you where to find it and give you a little preview when we continue next right here on The Drive, Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Fan Run Radio, the drive continues. Cruise along with you. Tuesday afternoon edition of the show. We keep rolling right through a jam-packed edition of the drive today. Aaron Torres is back. Fox Sports' Aaron Torres. Good afternoon, AT. What's up?
Not much. Give me the scoop. You know, I know you guys, no one takes Tennessee basketball recruiting more seriously than you, Russ. So give me the rundown. What do I need to know today?
All right. So this kid we just talked to, Hanji Tamba is his name. He's from the Congo, and he is reclassifying, right? So he's 17 years old, super smart. Apparently, he's up to be valedictorian of Catholic high school here in Knoxville, which is that's where B.J. Edwards, the point guard, went, the Mays twins. It's become like this talent pipeline for
– Harrison Smith.
For the Vols. Yeah, Harrison Smith plays for the Vikings, went there. And
he wasn't a Vol.
Yeah, no, he wasn't. No, that's a sore spot. Too soon, Aaron. Too soon.
I'm sorry.
But, yeah, super kid. Maybe a little bit of a project, you know. He's 7 feet tall. You can't teach that. But he's a good pickup and is going to be a hometown favorite, I think.
Well, listen, I'll tell you this. When I saw that news, it was fascinating to me because, as you know, Russ, I had Rick Barnes on my podcast yesterday. And I'm not doing it as a humble brag or anything like that. I'm just doing it because we talked a lot about a lot of the stuff that you and I have talked about and Bear, too, over the course of the summer. You know, I asked him, I said, has your recruiting philosophy changed? Are you still going to recruit high school players? Are you going to, you know, you sign Justin Powell out of the portal? Is that a case-by-case basis? And I was actually a little surprised. He said, you know, we understand that you know, the days of expecting everyone to stay and develop and evolve probably are over, but we still consider ourselves a developmental player, and we're still going to take high school players, even if they're not ready to play right away the second they walk on campus. And I think that's a sharp pivot from what a lot of coaches are doing and saying right now, where they're basically saying, if I'm taking a freshman, I'm planning on playing them right away because we're not going to be able to keep them very long if we don't. And so, you know, listen, I could say a lot of things about Rick Barnes. One thing I know, he didn't lie to me, because that's exactly, you know, what happened today. And I thought it was really interesting when I saw that piece of news.
You know, Barnes, he's kind of an enigmatic guy, right? Because he, on one hand, he has this reputation of being very much set in his ways. Offense isn't changing. He's not embracing the new wave analytics offense, certainly not as much as other coaches are. Hard-nosed, man-to-man defense type guy. And that doesn't change, hasn't changed for 30 years as a head coach. And on the other hand, you're absolutely right, Aaron. He has completely reversed course, gone from a, you know, 4-year and even 5-year player type program to utilizing the portal, going the one and done route, doing whatever he has to do to get players. It's interesting for a guy who just turned 66 to be able to reinvent himself like that late in his career.
Yeah, it's interesting, Russ. You know, I mean, I don't know if he's spoken publicly down there about, you know, recruiting and all that stuff, but I mean, I think when he got there, it was by no choice of his own. I mean, it was just going to be hard for him to get players at Tennessee.
Sure.
And he had to develop those Grant Williams, Admiral Schofield, Jordan Bone types, and it worked out really well for him.
Yep.
And so, you know, I'll be interested to see, you know, how things go specifically this year. You know, Kennedy Chandler, I think we most all of us expect him to only be there 1 year. You know, last year, do you want to call it a failure? I don't know. You end up as a 5 seed in the NCAA tournament. It's not that bad, but obviously you were the preseason SEC favorites and it didn't work out. But I'm just bringing it up to say that, you know, I one other thing that I talked to him about, and I encourage everyone to go listen to the podcast. It's on my YouTube page, or my Twitter page, excuse me, is that, you know, last year I think it'd be easy to say, well, you know, you had these one and done guys and blah, 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 and this and that. But I don't think you can really take anything out of last year at all. I think last year was just one of those deals. It was weird for everybody. I mean, even the Baylors and the Gonzagas, did they have fun? Yeah, but, you know, it wasn't as fun to be a Gonzaga basketball player be in an undefeated season as it would have been, you know, if this had happened 2, 3, 4 years ago prior to the pandemic when fans were in the stands and life was back to normal. So I think this is a really interesting year because, you know, you have another really highly ranked recruiting class. You got a couple really, really, really talented players coming in. And it's curious to see, are we going to fast track the development? Obviously, the plan is to put the ball in Kennedy Chandler's hands and see what happens from there. But it's just going to be interesting. It's just going to be interesting because obviously he had a ton of success with the older developmental players those first few years. And I'm just curious to see what his plan is going forward.
Yeah, that was, to me, the most interesting part of the interview. I listened to it earlier today, Aaron. And he said something to the effect of, like, he was relieved when the season was over because
– he said,
yeah, go ahead.
I'll tell you what he said, Russ. It blew my mind. He said, I talked to a lot of people in this sport, and if we had to do it over again the way that we did it, I don't know if we would do it over again. And I do have the video. I'm going to post it on YouTube later tonight. You know, but that really shocked me. And you know, I think we all understand it was unprecedented. And, you know, I'm sure you've had all sorts of people on, players, coaches, administrators, whatever, that said it wasn't fun. And, you know, he talked about a lot of that. He talked about, you know, you leave practice, you get a box dinner, and you go back to your dorm and you can't do anything. Or in his case, he has to go back to his house. And, you know, the one thing about Coach Barnes, I don't claim to know him well, but I've had a chance to interview him a few times, is, you know, he really loves being around his kids, and he's going to be hard in practice. But, you know, the second that practice is over, he's going to wrap his arm around them and, you know, ask them about their day or ask them about class or their girlfriend or their mom or their dad or whatever. And so, you know, when he said that, I think it really struck me as to how hard it was. And then, you know, kind of stuff that, Russ, you and I and Bear talked about throughout the season of, you know, why does Kentucky stink like they do? Why does Duke stink like they do? Why does Michigan State stink like they do? It was just one of those years where it was very strange for everybody. But to hear him say that, like, blew my mind when he said, you know, a lot of us really feel like if we had to do it over again, we wouldn't. But I don't think he's the only one. You know, I think he's at the point in his career where he's going to say what he really feels. And I think he's speaking for a lot of people when he says that.
Yeah, very interesting stuff. Go find the Aaron Torres podcast. His latest episode features about a 20-minute interview with Rick Barnes. Really good stuff if you're a Tennessee basketball fan. And Aaron, the other thing to think about is, you know, they weren't in the open gym just playing pickup over and over and over again like college players do last year. They're getting a chance to do that, and I think that is going to have a tremendous effect on the quality of the game that we see as well.
Well, and I'll tell you, you know, I know you guys don't like those big blue neighbors of yours, but I think it hurt that program more than any other, because, you know, that's a program where everybody kind of understands it's a year-to-year basis. Most of us are not going to be here for 1 year, whether it's a grad transfer coming in, whether it's a one-and-done high school player. And they really need the months that we're talking about right now to get into the gym and get to know each other. I mean, basketball is such a feel. So, you know, we've all played in some level. You know, it's a feel. It's a camaraderie game. And, you know, that was one thing that struck me early in the year, was that, you know, these guys probably don't even know each other, especially at a school like Kentucky where they're flipping over the roster every single year. And I think Tennessee was much the same. I mean, you relied heavily, obviously, on two freshmen that hadn't been in the program previously, and everybody was kind of in a new role. And I'm guessing, like you said, they weren't allowed to play pickup, and nobody had a great feel for each other. But I you know, I look at a school like Kentucky, and that's what really stands out to me, is, like, I don't think those guys, they didn't look like they knew each other when they stepped on the court every single game. And so, to your point, Russ, you know, it was a great season. I give credit in football too, and baseball too, and all these sports, and even the ones that we don't watch as you know, as we do with football or basketball. I give credit to all the student athletes for getting through, all the coaches for getting through, because it wasn't easy. It was a challenge. And I don't think we on the outside really realized just how tough it was. You know, even something like an NCAA tournament, you know, I know people that were in that bubble. I'm sure you know people in that bubble too. And I mean, they didn't go outside for like 4, 5, 6 days at a time. So it's crazy what we put our athletes through. I give them so much credit. Again, not just the football and basketball players that we know, but all the athletes for doing what they had to do to get that season in, because it wasn't easy for everybody.
Well said. Aaron Torres with us this afternoon on the show. All right, Aaron, we've talked a lot about, and we had you on last week talking about conference expansion and everything like that. A lot has been made about Oklahoma and Texas coming into the SEC in football. I think we all understand what that impact is probably going to be. What about in basketball? These are two really good programs with Final Four history, both breaking in new coaches this year. What do you think the impact of Texas and OU will be on the hardwood?
Oh, it'll be fascinating. First of all, that was – so I had one dumb question that I forgot to ask Coach Barnes. What is it going to be like going to Austin this year? And then, unfortunately, I did do the interview in the middle of last week, and I held it till this week. And I interviewed him right before this Texas-Oklahoma news broke, so I didn't get to ask him, hey, you might be going to Austin every year. What do you think, Coach? And so it's one of those deals where I think from a basketball perspective, it adds two really good teams. And for people who don't follow, non-SEC basketball closely, Oklahoma's been really good for years. Texas, I think they actually have cratered a little bit since Rick Barnes left, but, they made the NCAA tournament last year. I think in Shaka Smart, I think he was there 6 years. They made three NCAA tournaments. But I bring it up to say that there are two really good programs. As you said, two new head coaches. Both the head coaches have made a Final Four. And Chris Beard, most notably, of course, was the head coach at Texas Tech 2 years ago. He was a Texas Tech coach up until June, until March. But he was a Texas Tech coach 2 years ago when they made a Final Four and almost won a national championship. And so he's really well-respected. He has been very aggressive in the portal. They are going to be a really talented team next year. I know that doesn't necessarily pertain to Vols fans per se, but I'm only bringing it up to say that those are two really, really, really good programs, and they're going to add something in basketball. And I think that, you can argue, and trust me, people on social media love to argue, but I think you're talking about the SEC is the premier program or the premier conference in college basketball because you have so many coaches who are established, like Bruce Pearl, like Rick Barnes, like John Calipari. You got the up-and-comers like Nate Oates, who we know is incredibly talented, Eric Musselman at Arkansas. And then you had two more coaches that have been to a Final Four, built programs from the ground up. It's hard for me to argue that anybody else is going to be better, especially when you look at a situation like, say, the ACC, where Duke and North Carolina are both going to be breaking in new head coaches over these next few years.
Aaron, last thing, we'll let you out of here. USA basketball in the Olympics. What's your thought? So many people are down on this team. Are other nations simply catching up, or is it more poor play and coaching on our part that's causing this?
Well, and I talk about this on my podcast, I think it's the latter. I mean, here's the problem, Russ. We're getting old. And when you get old, you're old enough to see history repeat itself. And I was around in 2004, and I wasn't working in sports media, but the last time that the U.S. really stunk in the Olympics was 2004, and at the time, the excuse was, oh, the world is catching up. And then they brought in Coach K, and then the best players committed to play, Kobe Bryant, LeBron James, Chris Paul, Kevin Durant, on and on and on, and we win three straight gold medals and never lose a game. So, the idea that we're going to rip through the Olympics 4 years ago or 5 years ago, I guess, in 2016, and that the world has caught up that much over the last 4 or 5 years, I just don't buy it. I just think this team is poorly put together. It's poorly coached. In hindsight, the NBA Finals ended really late, and they added a bunch of players from the Finals, which I don't think was necessarily the smartest move. But I don't think this team's getting better. And I hate to be anti-American. I don't think they're winning the gold, though. I mean, I hope I'm wrong, but I just don't think they're winning the gold. And it's going to be fascinating to watch, but I've been a little bit underwhelmed, Russ. I really have been.
Do you think that they would benefit from hiring, kind of like they do in soccer? The head coach of the men's national team does not coach a club. Like, that's his job, is to run the national team. Do you think they would benefit from a setup like that, where you have a coach who that's all they do is get you ready for the Olympics and what are the FIBA championships or whatever every 2 years, and that's just that coach's one area of focus?
So it's really interesting. I'll tell you, I saw Mike DeCourcy from the Sporting News kind of make the argument that essentially his argument, he's a college basketball writer. His argument wasn't that it should be a college basketball coach always, but that it should not be an active NBA head coach because their season usually doesn't end until middle of May, end of May, beginning of June, and then you got to turn around and coach this team. And so, you know, his argument was find another kind of on the rise college coach. I mean, his suggestion was Jay Wright, or, you know, a coach that, as you said, is not in the NBA. And he mentioned Jeff Van Gundy. You know, I had never really thought about it, and I don't know how NBA players would respond to another college coach. I know we poke at Coach K, but he's obviously really well-respected in the basketball community, and the guys 15 years ago, like I said, the Kobe's and LeBron seemed to really embrace him. Would they do the same with Jay Wright? I don't know. But to me, I don't know what the answer is. I just don't think Popovich is the answer. That's my big thing, is I don't think he's the answer. I don't like the way he handles the media. I don't like the way that, you know, every time they lose, there's always an excuse and the world is catching up. And Russ, all I would say really quick is it is getting a little bit old. I mean, imagine if, you know, just as a hypothetical, you know, Rick Barnes lost two or three games, or Coach K or John Calipari. I mean, imagine if John Calipari, you know, a few years ago they lost to, what was it, Evansville. Imagine if he loses three games in a row to Evansville and his excuse was, well, you know, the mid-majors are catching up. What can I do? You know, what can I do? The mid-majors are catching up. And that's basically what Greg Popovich's excuses has been, because they lost two exhibitions right before they left for the Olympics. They lost their opener. And every single time, it's they're catching up. I don't know why you're surprised. This is the new world of basketball. And it's like, dude, we didn't hire you to make a bunch of excuses. I know you're mad, but, you know, you gotta show me something here. I mean, I don't know, Russ. Don't get me started.
We won't. Would never do that to you. Aaron Torres, at Aaron_Torres, Fox Sports Radio national host. You hear him weekends right here on Fan Run Radio. Aaron, always a pleasure, my friend. Folks, go check out his podcast. He's got Rick Barnes on this week. It's a fantastic interview. AT, always a pleasure, man. Thanks for jumping on again.
All right, Russ. Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Aaron Torres making his presence felt from out there on the West Coast. We got to take a quick timeout. We'll be back to wrap things up. The shocking conclusion of The Drive coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
All right, Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. Wrapping up on a Tuesday. What a show. We have covered a lot of ground. Get to catch our breath here a little bit. Bear, your thoughts, Aaron Torres, another phenomenal appearance on the show today.
Yeah, that guy's got a high motor when it comes to basketball.
Oh, he loves it.
Oh, yeah. It just gets me fired up about it, so.
I tell you, that was interesting what Coach Barnes said about he said that he felt like everybody in the program was basically relieved when the season was over. And not that, you know, they weren't taking it seriously and they didn't put their best, but it was just, it was a grind. It was a drag at times, all the testing and the restrictions and everything. And he said that if they had it to do over again, he's not sure they would do it again. And, you know, he talks to a lot of coaches, right? So that's not just one old guy who didn't have a good time last year. I mean, Coach K basically was advocating for shutting down the season in December. You'll remember.
Right.
And I think a lot of guys did not particularly enjoy it.
Yeah, I mean, how could you with everything that was going on? It was a really weird season. I'm glad they did, but because I think it helped a good portion of the country with, you know, cheered everybody up, gave us something to look forward to. And I appreciate, you know, all that the coaches and the players and staff went through to make it possible.
You surprised that, I don't know how much you've been keeping up. The draft is tomorrow night, I think, or Thursday.
Right.
Are you surprised that Keon Johnson is kind of, I won't say tumbling down the boards, but his stock is cool. It doesn't seem like he's going to be a lottery pick anymore.
A little bit, because we haven't really heard anything, and I don't know what if anything happened that led to him slipping.
Well,
I mean, he hadn't been in any trouble. He showed out at the combine.
I think he showed out athletically. Here, what I've heard, and there's a really good mock draft with a good write-up on The Athletic that I saw earlier today. And apparently he is very divisive amongst NBA
scouts.
Yeah, because some people just don't think he is going to develop a jump shot and develop into a scorer. And I think that we all think that he will work at it and that he'll put in the effort. But I kind of get it. You don't know. And we saw that last year. He was not a very good outside shooter, and he had trouble holding on to the basketball. He dribbled off his feet or off his hands a lot. It's hard. Yeah. It's a hard skill to learn. And he's young, and I'm sure, like I said, he's going to put the effort in and work on it. But you don't know that he's going to get those issues ironed out. So, I mean, we're talking about a first-round NBA draft pick, man. That's not something those guys are want to gamble on.
No, it's a lot of money that you're talking about. But, I mean, it only takes one scout and one organization to want to take a chance on him. So, you think he should have stayed? You think those two should have stuck around?
No. Definitely not Keon. I mean, if Springer falls to the second round, you could perhaps say something. But no, man, your first round guaranteed NBA contract. I mean, you're immediately injecting millions of dollars into your family's life. I don't see how you turn that down to come back and play for free or, you know, what, a PAL sponsorship or something this year?
Yeah.
And then Springer, it's kind of the opposite of Keon, where they're saying, look, the skill set is there. He's got a nice-looking stroke that's going to get a little bit better. He's really nice ball handler and all that stuff, but we don't know that the explosive athleticism is there. That's stuff that you can't teach. That doesn't just show up at his age. You know, you kind of are what you are athletically by the time you reach 19, 20 years old now.
Yeah. Well, Ben Simmons, I think that's another thing that might be playing into it is you got Ben Simmons, who was, I think, I know he's probably a lot bigger than Keon, but the knock on him coming out of LSU was he really didn't have a very good outside shot. I don't know if that's playing into it somewhat.
Well, he's such a weird player to me because you remember when he was at LSU, he was a big man, right? I mean, he was 6'10", and he played in the post. He played around the basket, and they didn't ask him to shoot outside. And I think everybody – we've gotten used to it now because he's been around for a couple of years, but they move him from – I don't know of any other player that they've ever done that with where they take a guy who is essentially a center. I know that nobody – calls him a center anymore, but he was essentially the big man on that roster, and then turn him into a point guard at the next level. That's unheard of.
It's unheard of, excuse me, at that level, but I mean, Bruce Pearl famously did it with, why can I remember his name?
Bradshaw.
With Bradshaw. Donnie Tindall somewhat did it with Josh Richardson.
I just wonder if they should have made him a wing, you know, a stretch three or something like that.
Like what would be a small forward?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't watch enough NBA to have that much of an informed opinion on it, but he seems like an anomaly type player. And by the way, I don't want to rip. I'm not trying to be negative on Keon and Springer. Like I said, man, the most – mock drafts have both of them going in the first round. And if that happens, it's wildly successful. They were nice, very nice players here, represented the program well. And kind of getting back to what we were talking about with Aaron, you can't help but wonder, Bear, if they had a quote-unquote proper college basketball offseason where they hit campus in June and they spend 3 months doing nothing but playing pickup games against the other college players – skill development with Rick Barnes. You know, and Keon Johnson, I mean, you talk about his trouble ball handling, and Rick Barnes, a renowned shot doctor, right? Going back to what he did with Kevin Punter. If he had 4 months before the season to be working with Coach Barnes every day, ball handling drills, shooting drills, stuff like that, You got to wonder.
A lot more polished.
Yeah, you got to wonder what that would have done for his stock and his productivity last year for Tennessee.
Well, we will be able to ask tomorrow. We've got Derek Murray. He's an NBA draft writer with basketballnews.com, and hopefully he'll be able to ask him about it and get his thoughts on it.
Yeah, and then, Pons, is he going to get picked? Can he squeeze himself into the second round? And that's almost like the conversation we have with the NFL draft where it's, if you're going to get, would you rather be picked in the last round, the seventh round of the NFL draft, or would you rather just be a free agent and get to pick where you go, essentially? Because you're going to be battling to make a roster at that point anyway. You're battling to make a roster if you're a second round NBA draft pick. And, you know, if he doesn't get selected, I'm sure there'll be a dozen teams or so that would inquire. But, hey, you want to come play for our summer league team? You want to come out to Vegas and play and see if you can make a team? I almost wonder if you're better off at that point just being a free agent and getting to sign that way.
It's worked out well for Nikola Jokic, though.
I think the other thing that will that Pons has going for him is Pons is not going to have probably any problems at all with going back, going to Europe. Because, I mean, he'd be going home.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure he could probably get on one of the top French teams in that top league. And I'm not as worried about Pons. He'll make an incredible living over there and be at home. So, like, it wouldn't surprise me at all if he ends up back in Europe.
Yeah. The NBA I watch, I see a lot of guys his body type out there, though, that are just like 6'6", really strong Swiss Army knife players where they can play a number of positions and guard every position on the floor, do everything, shoot it a little. I mean, that's going to be his thing. He had kind of the same thing with Keon, right? Is how is that shot going to develop and can he hold on to the basketball? Is he ever going to be a guy that can put it on the floor, get to the rim, play through contact? Because we know he can defend. I mean, that's not going to be an issue. We know he can defend. We know he can rebound. It's just, is he going to give you anything offensively? Because that's the one thing you don't see when you watch NBA basketball is guys out there who don't give you much offensively. You got to be able to do something. It's not like college where, okay, this guy can't play, but he's a great defender. We can just hide him on offense. We'll use him to set picks and rebound. No, you got to be able to shoot it.
Right. I'll tell you, the one thing that we can't discount with Keon, he's a ferocious defensive player. And I think that will help him. Because contrary to popular belief, they do play defense in the NBA.
Indeed.
So, but it'll be interesting to see what transpires Thursday at the draft. Because we were talking the other day off the air. I've seen some mocks that had Springer kind of borderline lottery and Keon way down, which has kind of been, you know, pretty much since they'd been here, all the mocks that we had seen were.
Yeah, it could happen. Keon or Springer could get drafted ahead of him. I don't think that would be a huge shock at this point.
Yeah. You think he's got a much better outside shot? He's obviously a much better ball handler.
Well, right now, but I mean, you see that. That's one thing you see all the time is guys who couldn't shoot a lick in college. You see him all of a sudden, he's like 30 years old playing in the NBA, and he's. That's the thing in the NBA. You got an open three. Those guys don't miss. Like, if it is open, it's going in. And if it doesn't, then that's a – you're almost sitting there like going, what happened? But there's no doubt Springer has the better outside shot now. I mean, we all watched last season. He shot a higher clip, nicer-looking shot. But that can be coached. That could be coached. I mean, look at Dale Ellis is probably the greatest example of Dale Ellis was 2-time SEC player of the year here at Tennessee in the early 1980s. He was a post player. He just posted up and mauled his before the 3-point shot. He would just post up and maul you down low. Great turnaround jumper, played off the glass, above the rim, and all that stuff. He's a great athlete. But by the time I started watching Dell Ellis in the late 80s, early 90s, he was the best three-point shooter in the league for years. He was until, what, maybe Steve Kerr came along?
Probably, yeah. I mean, he's still considered one of the greats, even now.
So, I mean, you never know. I mean, it just takes a lot of work and develop some confidence in that outside shot. Saw one of the teams, the mock drafts, had the Springer going to the Lakers.
I'd like that. We just get rid of LeBron.
Yeah, you wouldn't want LeBron James on your team. What
no.
are you doing, man?
I just don't like him, dude. I would rather have what they had up at Milwaukee this year. Something organic that you can really get your whole heart into. I'm not a big fan of like these mercenary basketball championships. And it's the same thing. It's why I didn't ever really care for, you know, I mean, I respect Steph's game. He's probably one of the best pure shooters that's ever played the game of basketball. But I mean, it was basically an all-star team. And I really don't care for LeBron James.
Matt Huckabee, who is still decked out in his Phoenix Suns hoodie, Phoenix Suns hat.
Poor Huckabee.
Just has the saddest look on his face right now. I mean, it looks like somebody ran over his puppy dog.
Which with the Warriors, they drafted a lot of those guys. I think KD was the only addition that they made, and they were great before KD.
Yeah, they did a good job building that franchise. All right, y'all, that's going to do it for us. Big thanks to Matt Huckabee. Thanks to Jake Miller for all the hard work here at the Fan Run Studios. Thank you, Bear.
Thank you, Russ.
Another day, another dollar, another stellar edition of The Drive in the books. Overtime is coming up next from 6 until 8. We'll do it again tomorrow right here on Fan Run Radio.